be with you in God's house. If you've got your Bibles with you, the book of Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 18 this morning. And I promised you for some time that we would talk about how that Jesus teaches us how to pray. And that morning has finally come, and all the messages about prayer and dedication and things that we've talked about over the last several weeks, we've finally gotten to this message. And this is going to close out our time of talking on Sunday mornings, preparing ourselves for prayer. Our booklets from the Kentucky Baptist Convention are 40 Days of Prayer. They are in. They're here. And I'm announcing it this Sunday morning. Be prepared, because next Sunday morning we are giving out those booklets. It's going to be one per family. And we ask that you take those booklets, and starting next Monday morning, we're going to begin a journey of 40 days of prayer. So I encourage you, if there's somebody that you know that is not here today, we'll put it out on Facebook and try to get the word out as best we can. Do a text all and just let folks know, come next Sunday. Please be here and get your 40 days of prayer booklets. If you can't be here next Sunday, come and see me Wednesday, and I will have them Wednesday. Or if you need to meet me some other time, please let me know, because we want to begin this journey together as a church, okay? And I just encourage you, please do that. Starting next Sunday morning, not only will we be giving out our booklets for 40 days of prayer, but we're going to start into a sermon series on my favorite book of the Old Testament, arguably one of my favorite stories in all of the Bible, but especially my favorite of the Old Testament, the story about Nehemiah, and a time of restoration, a time of healing, and a time of rebuilding. And I can't think of any better series of messages to preach on, as God has laid it on my heart, than to preach about Nehemiah and the restoration of God's people, the rebuilding of the wall, the rebuilding of the temple. And we just pray that God takes that series and speaks to our hearts as we go through a time of 40 days of prayer. Something else that I want to remind you about is homecoming. If you can think of somebody who has not been in church with us for a while and they're not attending somewheres, please get me a name. If you can get me an address to go with it, that'll be even better. And we're going to be reaching out to them, and that's going to be the initiative of Homecoming Sunday, is to get as many brothers and sisters in Christ, or lost people as we possibly can, to come to God's house, whom that used to be here, that used to fellowship with us, they're not anymore for whatever reason, and bring them home. Bring them home to come and fellowship with us. There'll be a good time of music, a very short message for that day, and good food. So we want to encourage you to do that. A new ministry that we're going to be beginning here at Buena Vista, and I just want to begin announcing this for you. Don and Stephanie Minyard have come and talked to me about beginning a ministry that is basically a food ministry to reach out to those who are shut-ins, those who are unable to make it out. Maybe somebody's going through a period of sickness, going through some type of inability to get out or prepare for themselves, and they're going to be preparing meals and taking meals to those individuals. So that may be for a short season, maybe for a long-term season, but whatever the case may be, we're beginning in that ministry endeavor to reach out to those who have a need for meals to be prepared for them. Don and Stephanie have come and said that's what the Lord's laid on their heart, and they're going to be leading that ministry. And they are seeking people to help, those that will volunteer to prepare meals or to deliver meals. And there'll be a sign-up sheet in the back for that ministry. So if you're willing to help, if you're willing to provide, maybe you can't cook, but maybe you want to provide the items to prepare a meal, maybe you want to deliver a meal, or whatever you're willing to do, we just ask that you think about that, pray about that, and journey with us together in that ministry. Without anything else, let's look at what the Word of God says. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 18. If you find your place in the reading of the Word of God, let us stand together. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5. Jesus spoke and said it this way. He says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they be seen by others. Truly I say unto you, they have received their rewards. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not head up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask of Him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this service we're embarking upon. Lord, we thank you for the 40 days of prayer, this season of revitalization, renewal that we're preparing to embark upon. Lord, I pray that between this week and the next, Lord, that we just put out the word, that we motivate our church members, Lord, as I've been preaching and sharing it from the pulpit, Lord, that you just prepare us, that we endeavor to pray and unify together in prayer. Lord, I pray for this sermon series in the book of Nehemiah about restoration that we're going to go through, Lord. Father, I pray that our hearts be ready to receive those messages, Lord. Make us receptive to it. Lord, I pray that today your Holy Spirit envelop this service, Lord, as you teach us about prayer, how you would have us to pray, as you taught your disciples and as you taught others, Lord. Teach us also how to pray, the significance of prayer, why we pray, what we pray for, whom we pray with, Lord. Father, I pray that today if there's somebody beneath the sound of my voice who's never known you in the free pardon of sin, then Lord, right now, I pray that before it be everlasting too late, that they be saved, that they come and they give their heart and their life to you. They surrender everything, Lord. They'll answer that call of salvation. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here who is a Christian in need of renewal, Lord, a Christian who needs your touch, your healing. Lord, maybe there's a Christian who just needs to rededicate their life to you. Lord, maybe there's those of us here who need to confess unconfessed sins. Lord, whatever it might be today, Lord, I pray that this message of prayer speaks to our hearts in such a way, Lord, that we could not but cease in responding. That, Lord, we would come and we would bow humbly before you at the foot of your cross, that we'd give you all of our burdens, all of our needs, Lord, and say, here they are. Father, Lord, I pray that you but preach me as a dying man to a lost and a dying world, Lord. Forgive me my many failures, Lord, my many shortcomings. I pray that you just make me a greater, more faithful man of God every single day, Lord, that you make me the pastor that you would have me to be. So, Father, we give it all to you. It's in your holy, precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen. I guess the first thing that we should talk about as we go into this 40 days of prayer, as we prepare to pray daily, as we prepare to ask the Lord about several different things and bring Him burdens and needs and all of these different things, I feel like it's important that we ask and answer the question as to what is prayer. What is prayer? What is a prayer? What is it that you give over to God that you call a prayer? And you know, I found that over the years, different folks have different definitions for what a prayer really is. Some would say that a prayer is me talking to God. That is my prayer. You know, some would say that a prayer is something that we do in different places or different locations. Some would say that a prayer is something that you learn very early on as a child when you prayed the most simplest of prayers, you know, as I lay me down to sleep. And for some of us, it seems like we never moved beyond lay me down to sleep. It seems like our prayer life lacks in a sense of some way. But what is prayer? You know, I believe that one of the easiest ways to understand what prayer is to know that prayer is intentionally communicating a message. And there's several important words that I want you to see there. Two of them in particular. In the first is intentional. Our intentional message to God. You know, it's not something that we just do by accident. It's not something that we do by babbling. It's not something that we do just as we think of it. It is an intentional message to God. Our prayers ought to be intentional, meaning that when we come to God, we ought to pray with an intent. Amen? We ought to pray for a purpose. So we come first with an intent. But what is the second thing? We come not only intentionally, but we come with the purpose of conveying. Has anybody ever tried to communicate with somebody and you just know that the message isn't getting across? The lights are on, but nobody's home. The message is sending, but nobody is receiving. Anybody? Yes. Daily, all right? Daily in my job. Some of them even go to school and pay a vast sum of money to go to a certain school. And when I communicate and talk with them, they still don't understand the message, even in plain English. When we talk to God, we ought to talk to Him not only intentionally and with a purpose, but we talk to God with the purpose of conveying a message, meaning that we send that message up to God, to convey it, to communicate it, to send it. So we pray to God intentionally for the purpose of conveying a message. And if it doesn't offend anybody, I'm going to roll up my sleeves because it's a little bit hot in here this morning. I don't know if we're getting too cheap to pay for the air conditioning or if somebody is just getting warm, but I'm going to have to roll the sleeves up. I'm burning up. Of course, you know, sleeves are only good for really two things, and that's making you look better and keeping you warm. And I don't need help with either of those two things this morning. You can tell my wife's not here. I say things like that when she's not around. So when we pray, we intentionally convey a message. But what do we ask for? When we pray and when we intentionally go to God and we convey a message, what messages do we send to God? I believe the first type of message that we can send is a message of where we ask for something. That's probably the most common of all messages that we as God's people send. Messages where we ask for something to be done, or we ask to know about something, or we ask that something be given unto us. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says it this way. It says, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open unto you." Ask. You know, I'm a firm believer that we don't get a lot of what we want in our Christian walk with the Lord because we do not ask. You want revitalization and church growth? Ask. You want a greater relationship with the Lord? Ask. You want to have a more solid relationship in your family? Ask for it. You want to have a stronger marriage? Ask for it. You want to be a greater servant of God? Ask for it, and it will be given to you. Seek it, and you'll find it. Knock, and the door will be open. You want to send a message to God? Ask for something. The next message that we can send to God that I feel like we so often fail to send is we're so focused on asking Him that we forget about sending and conveying a message of praise. We ought to praise God, amen? We ought to thank God for what He has done. And in Psalm chapter 145, verses 2 and 3, the psalmist said it this way. He says, "Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever." He said, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." Psalms 145 is a prayer. It's a psalms but it's a prayer. David, the psalmist, conveys a message of praise. He says, "Great are you, greatly to be praised. Great is the Lord. His greatness is unsearchable." We see the Trinity there. He said it three times. It must have been important. What other intentional messages do we send to God? Not only do we praise Him, but we thank Him. We thank Him for His grace. We thank Him for His mercy. We thank Him for what He does for us every single day. Revelation chapter 11, verse 17, it says this. He says, "We give thanks to You, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for You have taken Your great power and begun to reign." That's who God is. He's great and He's mighty and He's powerful. And we ought to thank Him for every single thing that He's done in our life. There is nothing in your life that you do not have, that you do not possess, that you are not blessed with, that God has not given you, that God has not granted you. He has willed it to be. He's worthy of praise. He is worthy of the thanks. Probably the greatest message, the greatest prayer that we can ever convey to God is a message and a prayer of confession. You know, we spend so much time praying, "God, would You give me this? God, would You grant this? God, would You provide this? God, would you give me that?" We spend so little time praising Him. We so often forget to pray and thank Him. But one of the greatest prayers that we could really give to God, I feel like we neglect the most. And that's prayers of confession. I don't know about you, but I'm a sinner. And I don't mean that jokingly. And I don't mean it as some cliche that some preacher just put in a sermon so that he can make a point. I am a sinner. I fail God daily. In some way, in some shape, in some form, I fail daily. I can relate to Paul when he wrote and he said things like this. He says, "The things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. The things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing." And he talks about the struggle and how real the struggle of sin was in his life. Paul said things like this. He says, "I am chief sinner among you." Chief sinner among you. Paul was real, and he was a human. I am real, and I am a human, and I fail daily. Whether you want to admit it or believe it or own up to it, you fail daily. You do the things that you shouldn't. You don't do the things that you should. You don't follow in faith. You don't pray like you should. You don't give Him the thanks that you should. You don't praise Him like you should. You neglect to remember how great that He is and how mighty He is. We fail to share with others how that they might be saved. We fail to praise God and just live our lives in such a way that a lost and a dying world might see Christ through us. There is so much that we just don't do. Myself included. But how much time do we spend in confession? Church, we ought to pray prayers of confession. We ought to send messages of confession to God intentionally every single day. What is prayer? Prayer is that intentional conveying of a message. What are you going to pray for? What are you going to pray for? You know, I asked you over several weeks ago, close to a month ago now, to formulate what are three things, if God could only answer three prayers for the life of our church, what would they be? And you all were pretty faithful in giving me answers. And you folks said a lot of different things, and they were good. And everybody had good responses. But there were some people whom that I know were really praying, in part because there were several of us who, without discussion, had the same prayer needs. We had the same burdens on our hearts. We as a church, as we go through 40 days of prayer, and I want you to listen to this. If you don't hear a lot more, listen to this. As we go through 40 days of prayer, not only are you going to pray daily for these small 10, 15 minute prayer sessions about each daily devotional, but we've got three other things that I want you to pray about. The first great prayer need that I see in the life of our church is a prayer for the lost. The greatest business of the church is that we pray for those who need to be saved. The job of the church is to show Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world and to evangelize. And when the church fails to evangelize, we fail to meet our purpose for which we exist. My prayer is that we evangelize to the lost. That's our greatest need. Our second greatest need in the life of our church, the prayer that we need God to answer, is a program for our youth. We need a leader. I've looked at it. I've thought about it. I've asked people, talked to youth pastors, talked to youth leaders. I have exhausted myself since I have been here with the question about youth. Where do we go? How do we do it? What is there to offer? Awanas is the greatest program that I feel like we have for our youth here at this church. And I know that Christy is teaching Vacation Bible School, but we ought to lift Christy up in our prayers because she is dedicated to the call of Awanas. And I thank God that we have somebody who is dedicated to go forward and make sure that that program continues and that it grows. Pray for Christy. Pray for all of our teachers in Awanas. Pray for our Sunday school teachers. But pray that we offer a program for our middle-aged children in middle school and in high school who are now beyond the age of Awanas. Our prayer for this church is that somebody will come forward and they will step up and they will lead that program. That is our second greatest prayer need. Why? Because beyond the lost, the future of our church is the youth. You are going to be the history of this church. I hate to bust your bubble. If you're over the age of 35 or 40, you're not the future anymore. You're the present, but soon you'll be the history. It's the young people who are the future of our church. Where will our church be in 20 years if we don't have a program for our youth to be? Our second greatest need is our youth and somebody to lead it. The third greatest prayer need that we have in the life of our church is that we as God's people have a servant's heart. The video that we played this morning is probably one of the greatest examples of a servant's heart that I have ever seen. That woman's story could be all about grief and tragedy, and she has seen so much tragedy in her life. To lose her children, to lose her husband, and to talk about just the grief that even that she has at 100 years old of how she misses her husband, she still has a heart to serve. If that woman can serve, you can serve too. Maybe I didn't say that clearly. If that woman can serve, you can serve too. Our hearts ought to be about service, not about what God can do for me if I do this. It ought not to be about I'm going to serve because if I don't do it, nobody else will. Our heart for service ought to be about serving because that is what God calls us to do. He calls us to serve. Where should we pray and whom should we pray with? Church, as we go through a 40 days of prayer, I believe that the first thing we ought to do is we've got to start as we pray alone. Jesus said there in the Scripture that we first read in verses 5 and 6, He says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and they pray in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen of others." He says, "But truly I say to you, they will receive their reward." He says this theme continually, they'll receive their reward. And in verse 6 He says, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." You see, one of the great things amongst the Sadducees and the Pharisees of that day was that they went into public and they prayed on the street corner so they could say, "Look at me." Prayer and service is not about, "Look at me." Prayer and service is about, "Look at God and what God chooses to do through me." So in this 40 days of prayer, whom do you pray with and where do you pray? I believe the first place in which we begin is alone with God. Nobody else but us and God. Then where does it go from there? I believe if we learn to pray alone and with God, then we'll learn to pray with our family. One of the greatest things that we can do as God's people, as an example of a family, is to pray together. How often do you pray together as a family? I grew up in a home where my parents prayed with me. My parents taught me how to pray. I didn't have to come to church and listen to a preacher tell me how to pray. I didn't have to have a Sunday school teacher teach me how to pray. I didn't have to come to a youth group for a youth leader to teach me how to pray. Because my mother and my father taught me how to pray. We have a whole generation of young people in this world who do not know how to pray because their mother and their father has never taught them. They don't teach them the importance first and foremost. And I want to tell you something. If God is not important enough for you to pray to, then why on earth do you feel as if it should be important enough for your children to pray for it? If you won't, don't ask them to. Nobody had to teach me how to pray because my mother and my father taught me. Prayer ought to be in our homes. And we ought to pray together. When the church approached me and they asked me, when you as a body of believers asked me to come and be your pastor and to think about that, my wife and I, we prayed separately. We talked about it. We separated and we prayed for several weeks, each apart. We came together and we prayed about it together for several weeks. And then we separated and prayed about it again. And then we come back and we talked about what God said. We ought to pray with our family, husbands and wives, mothers and fathers with their children. Where do we pray and with whom? We ought to pray in small groups. We ought to pray amongst God's people. Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20, Jesus said it this way. He says, "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." And I can't reiterate that again. If you just slide back just one more time, I want to point that out because sometimes you don't get it the first time. He says, "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything, Do you notice what that word says? He says, anything. Anything they ask, it will be done for them by the Father in heaven. He said in verse 20, he says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, he says, there I am among you. Church, we don't have to come together, 70 or 80 people in the same room, to pray for the same things. We can come together two or three at a time, and we can pray and we can ask of God, and if we ask, He will give. Where and with whom should we pray? We ought to do it in worship. When we come and when we worship, we ought to pray. We ought to pray before we worship. We ought to pray during the worship. And I hope as I preach that you pray for me, and not just prayers of I hope He hurries up and gets done. Not just those prayers. We ought to pray in worship. But why? Why do I do this? Why do I pray? Church, we pray first and foremost because we're told to do so. As I grew up, I learned that I had to do a lot of things in life because my parents told me to do it. No reasoning behind it. There was a reason, but I didn't know it. And they for sure wasn't going to tell me. It was because I said, and that was good enough. Why should we pray? Because He says. Because He says. But there's a reason behind it. We pray not only because He says, but church, we pray to increase our joy. There's a joy in prayer. If you've never really prayed, and I mean if you've never really prayed, you can't begin to understand the joy that there really is in prayer. John 16:24, He says it this way, until now you have asked nothing in My name. He says, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. You've asked nothing in My name. Ask it and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Why do we pray? Church, we pray because prayer is one of the greatest privileges that you and I have. We serve a God who actually cares enough that He wants to hear your prayer. What other religion in the world can you really think about where their God really wants to hear their prayers? We serve a God who says, give me your prayers. Give me your burdens. Give me your needs. Give me what you ask for. Give me your praise. Give me your thanks. Give me your confessions. Give it all to me. Never cease in praying. Probably the greatest thing that I learned from Jesus' prayer and what He taught His disciples. The praise team, you guys can come on and prepare. But one of the greatest things that I probably learned from that prayer, as Jesus taught His disciples and others how to pray, is this. He says, pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Hallowed be Your name. By definition, what He meant when He said hallowed is this. Let Your name be holy. He said, let Your name be holy. When you pray, hallowed be Your name, Lord. Let Your name be holy. In every prayer, it ought to start off in the name of a holy God. Amen? In the name of a holy God. Let Your name be hallowed. Don't come in prayer without any other beginning than in the name of a holy God. Because He is holy, He is great, He is mighty, He is perfect in all things and in all ways. Maybe you need to come this morning. Maybe your prayer life is not where it needs to be. Until now, you've asked nothing in My name. If you've never really prayed, you really don't know the joy. Maybe you've prayed and you know what that joy is like, but you've not experienced it for a long time. Maybe there is a need for confession in your life. You just need to come and present unconfessed sins. God can't bless your prayers until you do. Period. We ought to pray prayers of confession daily. Maybe you're here and you've never known Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You never invited Him into your heart. The greatest prayer that you can pray is a prayer for a sinner to be saved. You come this morning. Father, Lord, we thank You for today. As we close out this service, Lord, I pray that You take Your words, that You continue to speak to our hearts. Lord, I just pray this morning that Your Spirit lead people to come. That's my prayer. Simple as that. You do the work, Lord. We'll give You the praise. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand.